Come, let's get together, let's get ready to hear God's word this morning. Okay. Now, before we start, I want to encourage you. Do you have the Bible in some form or the other? Okay, you can have a physical Bible. Yeah, if you have a physical one, raise it up. Special blessing for you. Just teasing. Okay. If you have an electronic one, don't just raise up your phone. There's got to be the Bible on the phone. All right? So either a tab, phone. Okay, so what's helpful is if you can, you know, as we refer to the verses, turn to them either in your phone or in the Bible. Okay? Because this is very, very important. I want to say why it is important. Because when we receive God's word, it's important that we check the word of God and make sure that everything the preacher says is in line with God's word. You know whose responsibility that is? It's yours. Okay, now imagine, you know, can you imagine if the Apostle Paul was here and he was preaching? Now, Paul wrote so many of the books of the Bible. He was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, apostle. Okay? But when Paul went to preach at different churches, and we look at in Berea. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Can we have somebody on the OHP to put that up? And in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, I'm opening it up in the NIV here. All right. It says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Okay, so it's talking about two separate groups of Jewish Christians, Berea and Thessalonica. And it says that the Bereans were of more noble character. And what was this distinction? And this is what they did. He says, they received the message with great eagerness. Okay? So, one attitude we need to have when we come to the word is we must receive the message with great eagerness. Okay? That means we are hungry to receive the word. Let's say somebody's come. Okay? So that's what we need to do. We need to be hungry to receive God's word. Secondly, it says, they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, can you imagine the irony here? Here is the great apostle Paul who wrote scripture. Okay? This wasn't any small preacher. It was the great apostle Paul who wrote scripture. He came to preach in Berea. And the Berean said, Mr. Paul, it's lovely to have you, but whatever you're going to preach, is it in the Bible? So that's so important. Okay? So this morning, as we go through the Word, that's what I want you to do. And not just when I preach, but when you hear any preaching, then you're saying, is what the person's saying, is it biblical? Is it in Scripture? That's very important. And what's helpful is if you can take down notes as well, because then you can go home, you can meditate upon it, check it, and be blessed by it. Okay? Are we clear on that? Great. So that was just an aside. It's not really related to the message. But Christmas is coming. And one of the things children especially associate with Christmas is what? Gifts. Yeah? Remember, anybody remember when you were a little child and you were looking forward to Christmas? Come on, weren't you? I was. Okay? Or maybe it's your birthday, you know? And weren't you looking forward to getting a gift on your birthday? Anybody looking forward to getting a gift on your birthday? People of little faith. Yes. Yes, yes. Okay, let's put it this way. How many like to receive gifts? Wonderful. Okay, now gifts are nice. Now, gifts are even better when they are promised beforehand. You know, when somebody says, okay, on your birthday, I'm going to gift you an iPhone. Wow. What would you be doing? You'd be counting the days. You know, Christy was counting the days the other day to his marriage. No, you'd be counting the hours, you know. And sometimes you're so excited you can't sleep before the day. You know, you're saying, ah, my birthday is coming, or Christmas is coming, that gift, I'm ready for it. And that's in the natural. Isn't that so? You know, yeah, that's how it is in the natural. I know there are some people celebrating their birthdays next week. All right. So, but let's look at what are the gifts that have been promised to us in God's Word. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Okay, the great day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and, you know, Peter is preaching, and the people in verse 37, let's start at verse 37. In verse 37, after they heard Peter's gospel message, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And the full continuation is, "What shall we do to be saved?" Because they were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And Peter, the great apostle, gave clear instructions. And this is what he said: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Okay, so repent is turning away from sins, turning to God. Be baptized, immersion in water, because that's what happened next, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see that there? There is a gift available to each and every one of us. And Peter talks about it here. He says, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, my question is, are we as eager to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit as we are to receive a new iPhone or a new car or a birthday gift? Okay, and so we're going to explore this a little more this morning. In Acts chapter 1, in just the previous chapter, when Jesus appeared to his disciples after being raised from the dead, and in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them," this is what Jesus did, "he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Okay? So we are expecting a gift, and this gift has not been promised by just anybody. It's the promise from God the Father Himself. Wow. So keep that in mind. There's a gift. And the gift is not just promised by anybody. The Father has promised this gift. And the gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to explore that a little bit this morning. But before we do that, we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have brought us here this morning, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is here in us and with us. Lord, I pray that as we look at these scriptures this morning, that you would speak to us. You would strengthen us. Oh Lord, we pray that, Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You know, how many know that Jesus is the Lamb of God? Great. How many times is that referred to in the Gospels or mentioned in the Gospels? Once. All right? Just once in the Gospel of John, where John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, that's very important. Jesus is the Lamb of God. No doubt about it. Okay? But it's mentioned once. Four times, one in each of the Gospels, and even here in Acts, Jesus is described not as the Lamb of God, but he's described as the person who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Very quickly, we'll turn to the script. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says, I baptize you with water, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I. This is John the Baptist speaking. He says, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Number one. Okay, Mark 1, verse 8. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And we can go to Luke and John. We don't have time to do that. But to tell you that four times in Scripture, Jesus is mentioned as the one who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Same thing, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, this promise is repeated again in Acts chapter 1. And we see the fulfillment of this promise in Acts chapter 2. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And that's the great day of Pentecost. So remember, Jesus died. He rose again from the dead. He appeared to his disciples for a period of 40 days before he went up to heaven. And before he went up to heaven, he said, listen, guys, wait for the promise of my Father. Wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he did. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's a whole chapter about how the Holy Spirit came upon them. Tongues of fire came. There was a rushing wind that came into the hall. And they all started speaking different languages. And the long and short of it was that the people from the city of Jerusalem came around and they heard these people speaking different languages. And they said, what's happening? In fact, when there was such a commotion, that they thought they were drunk. Okay, look at this. Acts chapter 2. And all were amazed. Acts chapter 2 verse 12 and 13. Okay. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. So keep this in mind. When the Holy Spirit came upon these people, you know, have you seen anybody who's had too much wine? Okay, how do they walk? How do they talk? You know, they're staggering, you know, they're talking very boldly, very loudly, and it's totally different from your personality. So really, what had happened was, they didn't have too much wine. You know, in fact, Peter says, listen, it's only 9 in the morning or something. He says, yeah, verse 15, for these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only, what does he say, the third hour in the morning. It was early in the morning. He said, these people are not drunk. Okay, the Holy Spirit came and transform them. Okay. So, now, this is what I want to get to. And it's like this. When the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, comes upon Christians, we've got to be new and different people. Okay? And we're going to just believe, this is just a series, maybe a couple of messages on the power of the Holy Spirit and the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because there can be confusion about this. And so today we're going to look at this and to see how important it is for a person to be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at a few things. Number one, it's a gift that has been promised. It is a promise from the Father himself. Okay? We've got that clear. Now, there are different operations of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. Okay? The first operation is this. When a person does not believe in Jesus, okay? When a person, and that we all started out like that. We were seekers. We didn't know anything about Jesus. There's nobody who's born a Christian, okay? We are born, you may be born in a Christian family, but that does not make you a follower of Jesus. There has got to be a divine operation in your heart. And that operation is called being born again, okay? And that happens when we repent of our sin and we believe in Jesus. I just want to make that clear. Okay, babies cannot repent. Babies cannot believe. So they cannot be born again. But it's only as we grow up. And we see that in Romans 10 verse 9, where Paul says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So do you see that? The way we get saved is this way. Belief in our heart, confession with our mouth. This morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this is what you've got to do. Okay, if you just believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Jesus died, he rose from the dead. You believe that. And you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Lord means saying he is Lord over not just my life, but all over creation. He is the only God, there is none other. When you do that, a miracle will take place in your heart. Okay. The next step, once you've done that, which most of us have done, as we looked at it in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is you need to be baptized in water. Okay, and baptized, you know, baptized is a transliterated word. It's not a translated word. It's the Greek word baptizo, which means immersed. Okay, so the next step in the salvation process is you need to be put in water. Go down and come. We don't have time to get into that, but that is important. Okay, that's one thing. And then the next thing is, after we are baptized in water, is we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, this is very different from the Holy Spirit working in your life to cause you to be born again. And that's where many Christians get tripped up. They say, I've come to faith, I have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do, to a measure. But there is something called being baptized with the Holy Spirit or being immersed with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at that. Now I want to ask you, were the apostles born again when Jesus was on earth? What's the answer? Were the apostles born again when Jesus was on earth? Yes, yes, they were born again. Okay, remember Jesus? Remember Peter? In Matthew 16, they asked him, who do people say I am? And they said, some say Elijah, some say Elijah, some of the prophets. But who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but this was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. Out of the 12 apostles, 11 of them were born again. Who was not born again? Judas. Because you remember when Jesus washed your feet. Okay, Jesus said, you are all clean except one. He didn't mean clean as in physically clean. He was referring to truly regenerate, born again. So the disciples were born again. They had faith in Jesus. But they had not yet received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. They had not been filled with the Holy Spirit as yet. All right? So we see that happening. Now, on the day of Pentecost, so even when Jesus rose from the dead, he met the disciples. What was the state of the disciples? Do you remember? Were they bold or were they fearful? They were fearful. They were locked up in the room. Doors were locked. And Jesus just walked through the things and came to them. Okay, they were fearful. They met the risen Jesus. Wow, Jesus, they met him. You know, saw the hole in his hand and the side. He ate with them. Jesus was with them. Did they go and tell anybody about Jesus? No. Okay, so they saw the risen Jesus, but they didn't have the power to go and proclaim the gospel as yet. They were there. And Jesus told them, listen, don't go anywhere yet. Wait. Wait for the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit. They waited 10 days. When the Holy Spirit came, what happened? They were bold. They went out to the temple courts and they proclaimed, they healed the sick, cast out demons, and Jerusalem was filled with people hearing about Jesus. Wow. So can you see the difference the baptism with the Holy Spirit made? Yeah? So what I want to share with you this morning is this. I want to ask you, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? You may have been born again. Wonderful. And for some people, at the time of being born again, they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Great. No problem. Wonderful. You know, I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who people said, you know, I've received it all at conversion. People said to him, I received the Holy Spirit at conversion. I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. Really? You've received it all? Where is it? Show it to me. You see? Where is it? Because imagine a person who says, I've drunk 2 bottles of alcohol. Can you not see the effect immediately? Yes. And it's the same thing. When we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power, boldness when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So when we are truly baptized with the Holy Spirit, we will have great boldness just as the disciples had. Okay, so let's look at a couple of instances in the Bible where people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, Philip goes to Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, there was a great persecution, and in verse 4, it says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. Okay, that's verse 5. And this is what happened. Now see, this is Philip. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip, and they heard him and saw the signs that he did. Okay, so you see here, he started doing signs. Verse 7. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, so there was much joy in that city. So this is what happens. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the boldness to go and preach the gospel. We have the power to heal the sick, cast out demons. That's the normal Christian life. Okay? Now, see what happened. Let's jump to verse 14. Sorry, not verse 14. Let's go to verse 10. So they all paid attention to him, from the greatest to the least, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. This was about Simon the sorcerer, okay? Verse 11. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, verse 12, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So you see that? He goes into the city, proclaims the gospel. Many people believe and they are baptized. That's the normal way the Christian life is. Okay? Even Simon himself believed after being baptized with Philip. He continued, and after seeing many signs and wonders, he was amazed. Now verse 14. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Okay? So this is a group of people who have believed in Jesus. They are born again, they are Christians. The Holy Spirit has done a work in their lives. But see what happens. Peter and John came to them, verse 15. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them. When they arrived, they prayed for them and prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Sorry, verse 16. For he had not fallen on any of them, and they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. All right. So the point I'm making here is, these were people who were believers. They had believed in Jesus. They had been baptized in water. Wonderful. But they had not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it required Peter and John to place their hands upon them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay. So here we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened as hands were laid on people. Were these people believers? Were they believers? Yes. But there was a time gap between they believed and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay. Look at Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is among the Gentiles. You know, won't get into the story. He comes to faith. He believes in Jesus. And he comes to faith and he believes in Jesus. And then see the amazing thing that happens. Okay, verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Next verse. Okay, and the believers, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the gift had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Next one. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and praising God. So we see two ways the baptism of the Spirit happened. One, hands were laid. The second one is the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven. Okay? Now, who is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit? Okay, it's Jesus. Okay, you know, when we get baptized in water, it could be a pastor or a leader who baptizes. The pastor or the leader is the baptizer. Okay, you are the one who's baptized, and the medium is the water. You are immersed in the water. All right, that's water baptism. With spirit baptism, the baptizer is Jesus. What are you baptized into? The Holy Spirit. You're immersed in the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. Okay? Now it can happen through the laying on of hands. It can happen from heaven. Okay? It's Jesus who is doing that. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? Now think about it and answer. Okay? Are you baptized? You know, you've got to know the answer. It's like asking a question. Are you married? You know, you don't have to think twice about it. You know, are you married? It's either yes or no. You know, that's how it is. So are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? Now, some people say it is automatic. The moment you trust Jesus, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you why that's not the case. Turn to Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, Paul came to Ephesus and he found some disciples there. Verse 1. Okay, Acts chapter 19. He found some disciples there. And he said to them, what did he say? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now think about it. Why would Paul ask that question if it was not a possibility? Right? He should have said, you believed. You've received the Holy Spirit. It's automatic. But he said, okay, you believed. But did you receive the Holy Spirit? Who said that? Paul said that. So he's asking. So what it opens up is the possibility is you can believe in Jesus. You can be baptized in water. The Holy Spirit is within you, but you may still not have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. All right? So I just want to tie that up there. Okay, so that's fine. So we're going to move on from there and to say that what does this baptism with the Holy Spirit do? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says this. Oh, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. He anointed us. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Okay. Now it is 22. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So what is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a seal. Okay? You know, when you buy something today, how do you know it is authentic? There is a seal. ISO mark or whatever, saying this is the authentic product. So when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we know for sure we belong to Jesus. Okay? He's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Okay? We don't have time to get into that, but just to remember that anybody can say, I follow Jesus. Anybody. But how do you know that it's truly, that is truly a follower of Jesus? There should be the seal of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, just a couple of lives. You know, there was a preacher called D.L. Moody. And he was a great pastor, preacher, evangelist, and he preached and people came to faith. And there were two old ladies in his church, okay? And they kept praying for him and they told him, you know, we are praying for you. And so he says, what are you praying for me for? You know, people are being saved, things are happening. He's saying, we are praying that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was a little proud of it at that time. And he says, don't pray for me. Pray for the people to be saved. You know, but then later on he changed and said, no, let's pray. And he joined them in praying as well. And he was praying earnestly to be baptized with the Holy. He had a successful ministry. Nothing like that. But these ladies prayed. He prayed. And then one day, he was walking along the streets of New York near Wall Street. And he was suddenly from above, the Holy Spirit came upon him. It was such an experience. Okay. The other thing I want to tell you is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a subjective experience, although there are objective things as well. Because you've got to know whether you've been baptized or not. You know? And so the experience is, as you can see, people spoke in tongues, they were praising God, different things happened, there's an assurance of salvation, but he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And his ministry was forever transformed. He preached, and hundreds upon hundreds came to faith. Okay? We look at the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul was talking about his ministry, you know, in Romans chapter 15, he talks about, he talks about in Romans 15, verses 18 to 19, Paul talks about his ministry, and he says this. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. This great apostle of Christ, Paul, he says, I'll not speak about anything but what the Holy Spirit has done in me in proclaiming the gospel with signs and wonders. Now, you know, we can come to this church meeting Sunday after Sunday. That's wonderful. Please keep coming. But really, we need to be empowered so we can go out into the world with the power of God and do what Paul did. He's not talking about his eloquence. He's not talking about his apologetics or his arguments. He's saying, no, I proclaim the gospel. What does he say? By the power of signs and miracles or the power of the Spirit. That was it. Okay? We need to present the gospel and defend the gospel. That's needed. But the power of the Holy Spirit needs to be there. My prayer is that each one of us would be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, receive such power that when we go out onto the streets, people will notice the difference in your life. You pray for the sick, they will be healed. You pray for their situations, prayers will be answered. Okay? Because you are the light of the world, the presence of Christ is going with you. That people would sense the holiness of the Spirit in you as you meet with them. You know, there are some instances of some cities or towns where the presence of the Holy Spirit was so powerful that when people stepped in, they were convicted of their sins. They believed in Jesus. Wow. Imagine that happening today. Don't we want to have that? Wow. Great. Now, we look at what Paul did. You know, Paul was so anointed. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Look at how he healed people. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. In Lystra, there was a man who was crippled in his feet, was lame from birth, and had never walked. Next verse. He listened to Paul, and as he was speaking, Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had the faith to be healed. Go on. And called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, now we say, Lord, you did it with Paul, do it with us as well. Okay? We can proclaim the gospel. You remember, any of you heard of Ram Babu? Yeah? You know, he was not a believer, of course, and he used to mock these things. You know, there used to be these healing meetings, and he used to say, this is all fake. It is all rigged. This is what it is. So one day, he had a neighbor, okay, and she was deaf and mute. And he said, I'll make fun of these Christians. So he took her to the meeting to show that there is no power in the name of Jesus. But you know what happened? That neighbor got healed. And Ram Babu said, I became dumb. You know, and that's the power of the gospel. Okay? Now we've got to say, Lord, we want that same thing. Okay? Look at Acts 19. Okay? Acts 19, verse 11. It says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Can you imagine? You know, it's a hot, sweaty day. You're using a handkerchief. You leave it down there, and your colleague at work touches it and is healed. Why not? You know? You've got to believe God for this. If you're going to see this country, turn to Jesus. Yeah, we want to see the power of the Holy Spirit there. Okay, we won't continue too much, but just to let you know, there is a difference. Okay, look at verse 13. Okay, there were some Jewish, verse 13. Some Jews went around driving evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Now, these were not believers. See what happens to them. Next verse. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. Okay, they were not believers. Turn around. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Next. Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Okay? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so I want to, this was just the beginning for us to share that the Father has promised us a gift. That gift is power from on high, the Holy Spirit. Jesus has promised that He will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have already received the Holy Spirit at conversion. Wonderful. Subsequently, you may have received the Holy Spirit. That's great. But we need more. Okay? And the only requirement for receiving the Holy Spirit is we are born again and we say we are thirsty. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow out from him. Okay? And my prayer is that we will all be so filled with the Holy Spirit that through word and deed we'd be bold to proclaim the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. That's the kind of person that will transform the world. Can we stand up this morning? Okay. All right. You know, it's Jesus who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. If you're sensing in yourself, you know, I'm not bold. I can't sing and dance and shout and proclaim the gospel. You know, and I want the power to heal the sick. Why don't you put your hands up to heaven? Sing, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. That's it. Put your hands up to heaven. And we will ask the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, you said the promise of the Father is there for us, Lord. Lord, you said we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we want to live powerful lives like Paul. We want to proclaim the gospel with great boldness, with the power of the Spirit, with signs and wonders. It's not us, but it's you. Lord, would you come down from heaven, Lord? Would you pour out your Spirit upon us this morning, Lord? We ask you. Lord, would you immerse us? Would you cover us? Would you fill us? Would you baptize us with your Holy Spirit, Lord? We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come upon us, Lord, as you came upon Jesus and empowered him when he was on earth. Lord, as you came upon Paul, Lord, would you come and empower us? Lord? Oh, Lord, we ask you to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you this morning. Oh, Mother God. Will you make a prayer to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus this morning? Say, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ask the Father for his promise. You know, you open your mouth and you pray. And Jesus said, If you ask your father for a fish, will he give you a snake? Or if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? He said, if you are evil, know how to give good things to your children. How much will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Will you open your mouth now? Would you ask? Say, Jesus, Father, give me your Holy Spirit. More of your Spirit in my life, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Lord, put more of your Spirit upon us, Lord. Come, Lord, come. More of your Spirit. We want you this morning, Lord. We want you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Come and fill us. Boldness, Lord, upon us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each one here this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, for your presence to go with us like the cloud, Lord, that accompanied the Israelites. Lord, I pray that each one of us would receive the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit in an increasing measure, that we would be transformed people, Lord, so different from what we are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, we break every bondage and every work of darkness in the lives of people, every false belief. Jesus, you are Lord of all. We proclaim that and declare that. We speak healing over every sickness and every disease, and we take authority over every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus, Lord. Well, I pray for every unanswered prayer that you would come in and pour fire from heaven over those prayers that are in the bowls of incense in heaven, Lord. That we would see amazing answers to prayer in the lives of each one here, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we be transformed by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.